We are glad everybody is here with us today. This day is always an emotional and a good day for me. As I mentioned in our Bible class, today is 4 years ago today, I sat in the office at the Glen Rock Church of Christ for the very first time. So today is my 4 year anniversary. And today is also the anniversary of my mother's passing 17 years ago from pancreatic cancer. And so it's one of those emotional days that you never know which emotion you're going to feel at what point in time. This morning I got up and I was feeling very teary-eyed as I was thinking about my mom, but yet I'm coming to worship today and I'm thinking about this wonderful congregation that I get to be a part of. And so just it's just a good day to be here. It is difficult to define love, not simply because we use love in so many different ways. You know, like I love pizza and I love my wife, you know, so we use love, we make love variances of love. But it's because love is, real love is both a feeling and an action. So it's not an action devoid of feeling, okay? I don't just go and do and that's love. Yes, that is kindness, that is mercy, that is, and I can understand where someone would say that is love or the action of love. But real love, I think, ties both the emotion and the action together. And so it's really hard to say, okay, well then how do you define it? It's probably easier to say what does it look like than it is to define. When the disciples could not cast out a demon from a young child, a father had brought his son to the apostles, disciples, and they couldn't cast out this demon. And so Jesus comes onto the scene and he asks the father the question, how long has this been happening to him? And the father's answer back to Jesus is from childhood. So think about how long that is. But I want you to hear the next verse, verse 22, because he says in verse 22, and it has often cast him, speaking of the son, into fire and into water to destroy him. And look at this. But if you can do anything, have compassion on, here's the key word, us, and help us. You know, the more I just kind of read through that and allowed that passage to really speak to me and allow the Spirit to kind of work within me, what I was so impressed with the dad and longed for really inside of me is that he took the pain and the suffering of the child, and he made it his own. So he says back to Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion. He didn't say, on my son, and heal my son or help my son. He didn't say that. He said, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You see, love is not just going and doing a good thing. That is nice, and those are actions of love. But love is both the emotion and the actions that are uniquely tied together in a way that serves others instead of self. When asked what does love look like, a little 8-year-old girl named Rebecca said this, When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. Now, I'm glad Carrie isn't here because I wouldn't want her to think that I'm going to bend over and paint her toenails for her, but I understand the story. I get what's going on here. But see, that's the point of this. Love that little girl saw in her grandparents was when grandpa was helping grandma do something just because she's grandma. That's the only reason. Just because she's grandma. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 16, both use the same phrase. God is love. Now, it's a part of a bigger sentence in both cases, but in both cases, we get this phrase, God is love. I want you to understand something. At least I needed to understand something. John didn't write, God loves. John wrote, God is love. The essence of love. Yes, God loves. That's a true statement. Okay, God loves. But God is love. He defines what love is. You cannot really define love apart from God. I can do acts of love, but love is God, and God is love. When we go to 1 Corinthians 13, and, you know, we come to that famous love chapter, you know, what love does and what love doesn't do, what love is, all those actions and all those things about love get boiled down to that very last statement about how love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love never ceases. Love never ends. And the reason why is because the foundation of love is God. And God does not end. He does not fail. So love based in God is a love that is given simply because of who the other person is. Real love is less about what I get and more about how we are together. And there really is just, it's a tremendous shift in a person's head. Because most of us love conditionally. We just do, okay? We do love conditionally. We love because there is a reciprocation that is going on. I fell in love with Carrie. Okay, I'll be honest. I fell in lust with Carrie before I fell in love with Carrie, okay? I mean, I was a college boy. She was a beautiful girl. She had beautiful hair. She's just a gorgeous person. I didn't know who she was. I just knew, hey, she's pretty. I'd like to date her. That's what I knew, okay? But I fell in love with her because I got to know who she was, and we got to share our stories together, and we got to know one another. And now for 36 years, we've been experiencing that marriage of love together. And we see it in our children, and we try to share it with our children. Love is based not just on what I get, but what I get to give. And because God is love, God can extend his love to people who don't love him back. That's the difficulty that I have, okay? I can love you, okay? I've been here 4 years now, finished 4 years. I can love you because you love me back. Do we always agree? No. Are there times that I can be irritating? I'm sure. Are there times that you can be irritating? You can be sure there is. And so we deal with the irritations, but we love each other because truthfully, because we are saved. So we start with a commonality. The world, God loves the world, even though the world doesn't love him back. And see, that blows my mind. Because that's an unusual type of love. It is nothing but sacrificial. It is a love that pours out and expects nothing back. But now as his children, those of us who are saved, we experience not just the love that God has for the whole world, but we also get to experience a unique love that comes by being his child. Why is it a unique love? Because God now gives us his Holy Spirit who dwells within us. The world doesn't get that because the world doesn't know God, so they don't get the Spirit of God. But you, as a child of God, have come to know God, and his love for you says, I'm going to put a piece of me inside of you. And that's how we're going to be remaining connected all the time. So that you know, no matter where you are, all the time, you know I love you. I want to go to, and I'm going to put it up on the board. I want to go to Psalm 118. And in this psalm, and you're going to be thankful I didn't do Psalm 136, because Psalm 136 is 26 verses of this. I'm only going to give you a couple of them, okay? In Psalm 118, it begins with the psalmist saying, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Here's what I would like you to do. You see the letters that are in red, his steadfast love endures forever. I'm going to do a reading in the black. You're going to do the reading in the red. It's not that difficult. You can do this, okay? So I'm going to start back with verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say,
his steadfast love endures forever.
Let the house of Aaron say,
his steadfast love endures forever.
Let those who fear the Lord say,
his steadfast love endures forever.
See, in Psalm 136, you get 26 verses of this antiphonal back and forth that is going on. And the reason behind that is, the psalmist wanted to make sure that people understood his steadfast love endures forever. And sometimes you just got to keep saying it again and again and again and again. And the reason why is because sometimes we fear that that love has ceased. That's why we have to say it. We fear we have crossed a line somewhere as his child, and therefore his love no longer exists. His steadfast love endures forever. 1 John 4. We'll come to our text now. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to walk through just a couple of verses here. Verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. We have come to know and believe. When John gives us this statement here at the beginning of what we call verse 16, he says, you've come to an understanding. You've come to a knowledge. You've come to, if you will, a fact. Okay? So you have a knowledge that God is love. But it's not just a head knowledge that God is love. He says we have come to know and to believe. I have come to have faith in the fact that God loves me. And the reason that is difficult is because we don't always feel loved by others. Therefore, we don't always feel loved by God. So we take the feelings that we have in the world, we put that on God, and then we begin to have these questions. And I was dealing with this 2 weeks ago, and I wanted to finish this out, and I forgot it was Mother's Day, so we had to put a sermon in the middle. And so we come back to this same thought and say, okay, we know and we believe. We believe it inside us that the love that God has for me, God loves me. I love others because God first loved me. I love others because I have come to know the love that God has for me. I love others because I have believed that through the love of God, Jesus went to the cross and died for my sin. I love others because my sin has been, and the biggest word I could think of is obliterated. Gone. No more. So because my sin is not sitting in me, I can love. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God. So I got to abide in love in order to abide in God. That being the case, I want love to be a visible characteristic of my salvation. I want people to see me and to think, Jeffrey loves. I want them to see that. He loves. And I want to be able to share the reason why. Because he first loved me. But if they look at me and they don't see love, what are they seeing? Especially when I claim to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want that characteristic to really rise to the top of what people think about me. And not because I'm trying to win somebody over in the sense that I'm wanting to manipulate or get something from them. It is just I am so loved by God that I want that to be my nature, like it is God's nature. So I strive to show love to people who are walking in sin. I do. I may not like the sin. In fact, I don't like the sin. But I'll be honest, I have my own sin too. But I strive to love someone who is walking in sin. And the reason why is I don't think they will ever know God if they don't know love first. And so if they are walking in sin, they're already walking as an enemy of the cross, so to speak. And someone comes and walks alongside of them and just loves them for who they are, they're going to say, that's strange. Nobody does that. In fact, I know you don't even believe the way I believe. You don't even like the things that I'm doing. You think my lifestyle, my choices, my actions, my words, my things, you think they're all bad. Do you know how many times I've had people tell me what I think? He is a preacher, so I know what he thinks. And I will tell you, the best thing I can do is shut my mouth. Because they need to know I love them. And if I answer them in a way that they're expecting, yes, your lifestyle choice is terrible. Yes, your actions are wrong. Yes, you shouldn't be doing those things. Yes, you are hurting your family. Yes, you are hurting your wife, your children, your job, whatever the case may be. Those may all be true statements. True. But if I don't first learn to love who they are and love them, why would they ever want to change? Just tell me why. Love forces me to walk beside the person whose life is very different than my own. When I was reading all of these things that children said about love, one little boy made the statement, if you want to learn love, pick a friend you don't like. And I thought that was a cute way of putting it. Pick a friend you don't like. Yeah, that's how you learn about love. Is you have to walk beside someone that is very different than you. Verses 17 and 18, the crux of this little section that we are studying today. John goes on to say, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also we are, look at that phrase, in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. I want to tell you, I don't fear judgment day. And I will be honest. I think I'm probably on an, I'm going to throw out a number, 80% level of being there. Okay? As in most days, I don't fear judgment day. Are there still days that I do? Yes. The reason why is simple. Those are the days that my sin is very evident to me. And when my sin is evident to me, then I fear judgment. Why? Because I believe in free will. Because I believe that God loves me and wants me out of my own free will to come and to love Him back. But I also then understand that if I have that free will, I would have the free will to turn away from that love at some point in time and decide I want to do what I want to do. And so I read enough scriptures about people who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the very nature of God, and then turn away, that it is impossible for them to come to repentance. I read those passages and I think, did I get there? Is it impossible for me? See, the answer is no. And too often, in my understanding of Scripture, we beat Christians up telling them, you better be good just in case. And I'm going to come back and tell you, live in love, live in grace, and it will change you. Because the more you live in love, the more you're going to walk with Christ. You're going to accept the grace that has been given to you, and you're going to share that grace with others. It's going to motivate and change you. Which motivates more, love or fear? Ask any parent. We've had four kids. They're all married, grown, and have grandkids. Do I want my kids to do things because they are afraid? When our children were young and at home, did I want them to do things solely because of the discipline that I threatened them with? Or did I want them to do it because I wanted them to know that I love them and this is what, from my understanding, is the best way for them to live? And there's a difference. Did we ever discipline our kids? Yes, we did. Okay? Love disciplines. But I didn't want them to live in the fear of the discipline. I listened to Francis Chan. He was actually talking about this particular passage. And in this conference, he just broke down. And he talked about his dad. His mom died in childbirth. His dad blamed him for his mother's death. His grandmother took him away to Hong Kong for the first few years of his life. But according to him, he became a handful and she said, you got to take him back. And he said, as I grew up with a dad who what I knew punished me. He would tie me up and beat me. He said, that was my knowledge of a dad. He said, so when I come to this passage and it says perfect love casts out fear, he said, I did not know what that even meant. Because all I had was fear. And just seeing him break at that conference, and knowing the tenderness of his heart is overwhelming. Because I want to come back to this passage. By this is love perfected with us. By what? Us doing love. What we just read in verse 16, okay? Abiding in love. That's how love is perfected in us, is that we abide in love. I live like Jesus by trying to surrender my will to His will and to walk in His way. Why do I surrender? Because I have experienced nothing but love from Jesus. So I don't have the fear, because I've never had to feel the punishment, if you will. Has He disciplined me? Has He corrected me? Has He allowed consequences of my own sinful behavior? Yes to all of those things. But I've never felt as though God hated me because I wasn't good enough to measure up to Him. When love is perfected, complete, made whole, fear goes away. I don't want to live in fear. I want to live in love. Why do I still struggle? Because there are days, and it's not God's fault, because there are days when if I would have done to somebody else what I did to God by sin, I know how they would have reacted. And since I know how they would have reacted, I just think that's what God is going to react. So I come back to verse 16. I know and I believe that God is love. And I abide in that love. I've got to get to that level. Because if not, I will always walk with a question mark. And I would much rather walk as an exclamation mark. Not a period. I want an exclamation mark. I want to walk as one that is just extolling the love that God has. That when I am around somebody else, they are seeing it, feeling it, experiencing it. I want them to know the same love that I have experienced when I have come to Christ, humbled myself before Him, and accepted that grace that my sins were washed away and cleansed and gone. I want them to experience that same joy of a new life every day. I want them to experience a church family that loves the way you all love. I want them to experience what it means to grow in love and to show love. I want love to become who God is and therefore who I am. It already is who He is, so I'm not becoming who God is. But I want love to become in me, God in me. That's what I'm looking for. I want to share with you one passage and then we're going to close. Ephesians chapter 4. And I love this passage. And I read this passage. And I think Paul's statement here is so similar to John's statement. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I want to know love. I do. And that happens by knowing God. Do I experience it with you? Yes. But I have to know Jesus. That's what I have to do. And I want to know the height and the depth. I want to know the wonder of it. I want to be so grounded in that love that I can, I can go to the Romans 8 and say, nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Height, depth, famine, peril, nothing. In fact, in all of those things, I love that passage too. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. It's about love. God is love. If there's anything anybody you know who is unsaved needs to know, is God is love. And they will know it when you show it. But until then, they will struggle. But when you're showing it, they're seeing God in the flesh. You, an ambassador for Christ. As though God was making His appeal through you. Be reconciled to Him. If we can help you experience that love, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?